venia regnum tuum, fiat voluntà sua, sicut in cielo et in terra. Pane nostrum quotidianum, da nobis hodie, et dimitte nobis debita nostra, sicut et nos dimittimus debitoribus nostris, et ne nos inducas in tentatione, sed libera nos a malo.
Praise the Lord. Dear friends, we continue our meditation on the Lord's Prayer. We started meditating on the various aspects of bread. Jesus taught us to pray, "Give us today our daily bread." Bread is a gift of God given to all living beings. And the bread is also a fruit of human work. Every day when we eat bread or rice or chapati, whatever it be, food, when you see food on your table, you should also think of the work that has gone behind the screen. From the earth till the bread comes on the table, the enormous amount of work that has gone behind. So many people have worked. The farmers who till the ground, who sow the seed, who water the land, irrigation, weeding, then harvesting, and so many other work. So there are the farmers, there are the industries, all involved in the production of fruit, of food, of bread. So the bread somehow interrelates the entire humanity. The eater and the sower, the one who eats and the one who produces, somehow make a unity. So the bread, the fruit of work, comes to us as a gift. And this is a gift of God for which Jesus taught us to pray. So we pray day after day to the Lord to give us bread. It is Jesus who taught us to pray for bread. And remember where Jesus was born. The village or the town in which he was born is called Bethlehem, meaning house of bread. Beth means house and Lehem means bread. House of bread. So Jesus, who taught us to pray for bread, is born in a place called house of bread. Again, surprisingly, the newborn child was laid in a manger where the hay is kept. That is the food for the cattle. In the manger where the straw is kept, there lies the newborn child. He will later on say, "I am the bread of life." The one who became the bread for humanity, for the whole world to live a divine life, has been born in the house of bread and was laid in a manger. Jesus, the bread giver. And it was one of the major concerns of Jesus' life, it seems, to give bread to the hungry. Wherever there was a crowd, he would take care of all their needs. And at least twice in the Gospel of Mark, it is said, Jesus produced or Jesus multiplied bread. One interesting remark made by Mark in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, verse 2. Jesus says, "I have compassion for the crowd because they have been with me now for 3 days and have nothing to eat." A person who knows the hunger and need of the others. In chapter 6, it is that the disciples come and tell Jesus, Lord, this is already getting late. It's a deserted place. Let the people go home or go to the neighboring towns and villages to find something to eat. Jesus doesn't send them away like that. You give them something to eat, Jesus would say. You give them to eat. And the disciples were so baffled. There are thousands and thousands of people. Later on, they would give a count saying 5,000 men, including women and children, could be 20,000. So such a huge crowd. Where are we going to find food for all this? So the task is much beyond their capacity, beyond their ability. But Jesus is not intimidated by such a huge Herculean task. Jesus asks, go and see how much bread do you have? They come and report 5 loaves. Okay, bring those 5. When the disciples bring those 5 loaves and then Jesus blesses them and distributes, it reaches out to thousands and thousands and there is surplus. So Jesus wants people to eat not the bare minimum. He wants all to have their full. Later on he would say, I have come to this world so that you may have life and life in abundance. Abundance, plenty is God's gift. Jesus gave food. Jesus gave food and Jesus himself became food. The Gospel of John chapter 6 is the entire chapter is on bread. It starts with the multiplication of the loaves and then continues on with a long, long discussion about the inner meaning of bread, what this bread means. He goes on from the manna to the heavenly bread, from the word to his own body and blood. And ultimately he would say, I am the bread of life. The one who eats me will not die. In the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 48, I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that I'll give for the life of the world is my flesh. So Jesus himself becomes the bread of life. His very body becomes the food for his followers, for the believers. So before teaching people to pray, to ask for bread, he explains to them what the bread is. The ultimate meaning of this bread is the bread of life. It is Jesus himself. And it is during the Last Supper that this promise is being fulfilled. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, the institution of the Eucharist is being reported. Then he took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So the bread he gives is his own life, his own body, so that his disciples can have life eternal. This Eucharistic bread gives us a guarantee of the eternal life. And the very eternal life itself is interpreted as a banquet, as an eating and drinking. In the Gospel of Luke chapter 14, we have the parable of the banquet, where all are invited to take part. The only condition is you accept the invitation, enter the dining hall, and take your seats. And this is presented without a parable in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, verses 28 to 30. You are those who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you, just as my Father has conferred on me, a kingdom, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So the bread becomes the eschatological bread, the bread of life eternal that is to come, that is to come at the end of the ages. So there are various aspects of this bread when Jesus taught us to pray give us today our daily bread. Now, coming more concretely to the petition itself, what is this bread? And what is this daily bread? In the Greek version, if you translate the Greek from the original Greek, it does not mean exactly daily bread. The bread of our need, epiousion is the word. The bread that is needed for our survival. So whatever is needed for our life can be considered as bread. It's not just the bread that we eat for our body. Of course, all the needs of the body is included in the bread. But not only that. As it was said in the book of Deuteronomy, that man does not live by bread alone, but from every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So the bread alone is not, the bread is not the nourishment for the body alone. We have other needs. We have psychological needs. We have needs of intellectual needs to know. We have need of companionship, of loving and being loved. Then social needs. And we have ultimately the spiritual needs. So human being is not just a physical, bodily being. It's a social, it's a spiritual being. So when Jesus asked us to pray to give us our daily bread, the bread we need, he is asking us to pray for every need, all our needs, our need for friendship. And we know there are so many people today who feel lonely, who have nobody to talk to, who have nobody to listen to, people who are abandoned. Even the rich, even the powerful and healthy people are very lonely in their inner beings. They are hungering, they are thirsting for food, food of love, acceptance, understanding, recognition. So when we are asking for bread, we need also this kind of social relationship that is based on love. Give us today the bread we need, the bread we need to continue as human beings to live today. More than this, the life we are living today is not going to end without death. Jesus promised us that we are to live forever. The one who eats me will live by me, and I'll raise him up on the last day, he said. And the one who believes and eats will live forever. So the bread ultimately points also to this life eternal. So the translation of the bread, daily bread, can also be the bread of tomorrow. In fact, there are some manuscripts, the Greek manuscripts, which translate or which gives this version of the bread rather than daily bread to be translated as the bread of tomorrow. It would look curious to ask the Lord to give us today the bread of tomorrow. But if we look a bit deeper into this, it becomes much more clear and much more sensible. We are not asking just for today's need. Of course, we need that. We need bread to live. Anybody needs bread. But we have to live not only today and tomorrow, the life is eternal. And what is more important, what is more relevant, is what is to come. So Jesus promised the kingdom to us all, where God will be all in all, where all the miseries and sufferings and injustice will come to an end, where God's will be completely manifested and established on this earth. So that is the tomorrow. As in the book of Revelation, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. That new heaven and new earth, where justice becomes a reality, where all accept friendship, brotherhood, freedom, and all acknowledge God as the Father. So this is the tomorrow. The bread of the tomorrow is this life eternal. So this is a promise God has given. This is a promise Jesus has repeated. And this promise has to be realized in our life. So Jesus is asking us to pray, not only for today's bread, but for the eternal life. So that bread has to be given today. So we are waiting for the coming of the kingdom. But Jesus is asking, as in the petition for the kingdom, so also in this bread, give us today. Father, give us that life eternal you have promised today itself. Not after an age, give us today our bread of tomorrow. Again, the give us today has another version. Is it today or is it every day? If you read the Gospel of Luke, it would seem that Jesus has promised, has taught us to pray, give us every day our daily bread. In Matthew, it is said, give us today. And both have to be taken inclusively. Give us today. We want our bread today. The bread for the body, the bread for our mind, bread for our psyche, bread for our soul. And that has to be given today, but not only today. We have to get it to tomorrow also. So we are asked to pray for the continued sustenance from the part of God. Day after day, we stand before God. Not as beggars, but as children. As children asking to the mother for food, asking for the father. So day after day, we stand before God with open eyes, open arms, and open heart. Asking to fill us, fill our hearts with his love, fill our minds with his truth, fill our lives with his life eternal. So day after day we pray. It's not humiliating. It's not like a beggar asking from a rich person who is grudgingly giving him a penny. No, God doesn't want to humiliate anybody. God wants that we be happy, we be children. As children with freedom, we go to the Father. It's our right to give, to get bread. It's the right of the children to get bread, get food from the mother. So we go to the Father. But at the same time, we accept with reverence, with humility, and with love the bread that he gives day after day. So Jesus is asking us to pray. Give us today. Give us every day our bread that sustains us, that brings us to life eternal. One more thing we have to keep in mind. Jesus taught us to pray for not my bread, but our bread. Give us today our daily bread. It's the bread that unites us. The bread that unites us all into a brotherhood and sisterhood, as a humanity, as brothers and sisters. It reminds us also of the responsibility towards others who have no bread. If you have more than enough bread in your cupboard, in your house, it belongs to those who do not have it. That is what Jesus said, I was hungry and you gave me food. So come, blessed of my Father. It's in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, the last judgment, verse 34. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, come you that are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. The bread becomes the only condition of entering heaven. If you have shared your bread with the hungry, then come. The life eternal is yours. If you have not shared the bread, if you have turned a blind eye towards the need of your neighbor, then the kingdom of God is not for you. Jesus has taught us to pray. At the same time, he has taught us to share. And the disciples understood it very clearly. That's how, in the Acts of the Apostles, Luke reports about the primitive community. In the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, verses 32 to 34. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and one soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. 34. There was not a needy person among them. There was not a needy person among them. So we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us bread. We thank you for sustaining us with your life. We thank you for giving your Son as the bread of life. Enable us to share our bread with all those who do not have it. And enable us also one day to hear the word, come, inherit the kingdom.